is what is known. There has always been man. And there have always been vampires. Since the beginning, the two have been locked in conflict. The vampires were quicker, stronger. But man had the sun.
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory. My name is Eric, and this is our episode, our number 17 of our brand new Prismatic film cast here on the Prismatic Tsunami Podcasting Network. Thank you very much for joining us today. We got a fun show in store for you. Hope you stick around for more than 2 or 3 minutes of it. I think everybody here has been suitably handcuffed to their chair, so that shouldn't be a problem. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel. For his technical expertise, we have Rich with us today.
I have a mouse in my pocket.
We have Vanessa with us. She knows a little bit about movies.
I do not have a mouse in my pocket.
But she hasn't seen very many. And we got Jason with us today. He's the perfect armchair critic for our little cast.
I've got a mouse in my hand.
Oh, you people. And the kid.
Waka waka.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So, talking about this week's movie a little bit.
And then the ultimate weapon was found. The priests. Warriors with extraordinary powers, trained by the church in the art of vampire combat. They alone turned the tide for man. The remaining vampires were placed on reservations, and fearing the power of the weapon they created, the ruling clergy ordered the priests disbanded. The former warriors to be integrated back into a society that no longer needed them. And as the years passed, the few surviving priests faded into obscurity. Like the vampire menace before them.
We are talking about Priest. Released May 13th, 2011. Went to number 4 on the charts. It wasn't a chart. They weren't charting this. But number 4 in the box office that weekend. Thor was actually at the top of the box office this weekend. And it wasn't its first week. It was like, you know, its second week. So, but Thor made $34.7 million in its second week. Bridesmaids, Fast Five, and then Priest. So there you go. Rated PG-13, runtime 1 hour 27 minutes. According to IMDb, a priest disobeys church law to track down the vampires who kidnapped his niece.
Succinct.
Not bad. Amazon's was better. Paul Bettany stars as a man of the cloth who's hell-bent on rescuing his niece while taking down a horde of rampaging vampires in the process.
I do like that one better.
That's a better summary.
Spoilers. She's actually his daughter.
Dude, you gave it all away. Well, that was the show. Directed by Scott Stewart of Legion fame. Back in 2010, he and Paul Bettany teamed up on Legion, the other movie that reminded me of Paul Bettany and Priest.
Didn't you say we needed to watch that movie?
I haven't seen that movie, actually.
Does it have Paul Bettany in it?
All it reminded me of was the trailers. Written by Corey Goodman, who wrote The Last Witch Hunter. Again, similar kind of feel. Underworld Blood Wars. go figure. And the graphic novel was written by Min Woo Hyung. Music by Christopher Young, who did Swordfish, Entrapment, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man 3. A lot of good credits for Chris Young.
Evidently.
Very similar movies.
Definitely. This movie was filmed entirely on location in Darwen, Lancashire in England.
That explains so much. I thought I recognized those giant priest statues.
Yeah, right? I mean, the last time I was there, they were brighter. You know, there was sun. And so even when there was sunlight in this movie, there wasn't any sun.
That's true.
So I think they imported it in from somewhere. Starring Paul Bettany. Now, we've already talked about Paul a little bit on the show because he was walking naked through Knight's Tale for a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun.
As Chaucer, which was, you know, a fun role. Before this was right around, like I said, he did Legion in 2010. He did Inkheart in 2008. Not a lot after this that he was really, that we would really be talking about, except that he was doing the voice of Jarvis during this time, because this is just, you know, a couple years after the first Iron Man movie, and he has been part of the MCU ever since, eventually, you know, becoming Vision.
Interesting little trivia note. He actually appeared naked as his first appearance as Vision as well. What appeared to be clothes are actually part of Vision's body.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. Carl Urban, who we know from C. But has he been on anything on the show yet? We talked about Carl Urban yet?
Oh, if we had started talking about Carl Urban, we would not be done talking about Carl Urban.
I think this is Carl Urban's Expo Street debut.
We just popped his Expo cherry.
I'm so sorry.
Although he's been in a lot of things that we should do.
Quick
holy
note,
moly.
Oh, yeah.
Email apology to Mr. Urban. So right around this time, let's see, he was coming off of Star Trek in 2009, where he played Bones. Red in 2010, which is going to be next week's movie, if I have my way. And Dread in 2012, which I still would very much like to do on this show. I don't know if I'm going to get vetoed on that one yet. It's pretty graphic and intense, but it's so good. And it mostly features Carl Urban's chin. But, you know, it's still Carl Urban.
This is the way.
He does have a good chin.
That's what I hear. My wife was more than happy to watch Dread numerous times for that chin. So
I could see that.
I figured it out eventually, because there's a lot of movies amongst her top, you know, her favorite movies, the ones she watches again and again and again, that feature the same dude.
Yeah, my wife found a movie when Carl Urban mostly appears shirtless throughout the film and watches that one over and over again. I don't think she's looking at his chin.
Yeah, maybe she just likes
him. I could see that too.
And which movie is that for record?
For posterity.
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh. See, those are the big names as such. Cam Gigandet? I don't know. I don't know how it's pronounced. Played Hicks.
Giggity?
And he's from Twilight, and he was in Burlesque before this. I don't know. I didn't know what to think of him. I never saw the Twilight movies. Do you remember him from that, Jason? He played a vampire,
yeah.
I think.
He was one of the bad vampires.
He was.
He's the sheriff.
What they laughingly refer to as vampires in those movies.
Oh, and, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I made the mistake of watching Twilight in a theater with a bunch of teenage girls that all did the anytime anyone took their shirt off. So,
I feel sympathy for you.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Okay. From vampire movies that I have seen, and vampire stories, and vampire books, and vampire comics, and all of those things, I would much rather watch the Twilight vampires than these eyeless, monster, soulless freaks.
You know, it's funny, because just before you started talking, I was about to say, all things considered, I would much rather watch the vampires in this movie than what they call vampires in Twilight.
Have you seen Twilight?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
At least you're coming at it from an informed perspective.
The movies were better than the books.
That's true.
That doesn't say a whole lot.
I read all the books, all of them.
So
are you serious?
I read the first three chapters of the first book and said, I cannot.
I had a daughter at that point in time, so it was kind of compelling. I didn't have so much of an option in that.
Whereas my daughter, the first time she saw Twilight was at a slumber party with other girls, and she had the same reaction Vanessa did. What is going on with these people?
No, I was referring to the books.
Oh, yeah, good point.
They actually bought copies of the books for me.
I could just see someone gasping every time somebody takes their shirt off in the book.
I think that's why they were written, wasn't it? I mean, it had to be why the second book was written. Why else would they have had?
I will say the movies definitely had a better soundtrack than the book did.
The music was pretty good.
Yeah.
Maggie Q. I really, really like Maggie Q. She was in one of my favorite TV shows, spy shows. She was in Nikita as Nikita. And this was right around that time. She was actually still filming that she might have filmed this right before she started on the show. I don't know. I don't know how long it took this movie to go from development to release. But she was on the show from like 2010 to 2013. She was also in the Divergent movies after that. So, I mean, she's got a little bit of geek cred, if you can call it that. And she was Tori in the Divergent movies. She was in all of them. And I like her. She's the female priest in this. She was probably...
The credits referred to her as Priestess.
Priestess?
Yeah.
Probably the... I don't know who in this was compelling. We're going to work on that.
Christopher Plummer?
Thank you. Good call. And he was bad. He was mean. But he was believable.
Oh.
I guess that's not entirely fair. I thought Paul Bettany did good. I liked the way he played the character. I don't think the character was very likable or three-dimensional.
Relatable.
But he definitely worked what he got. But I like him as an actor. I think he's really good at what he does.
A lesser actor would have been even worse in the part.
And for some reason, I'm thinking of Nicolas Cage, and it would have been bad.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Wow.
What we have to do.
Oh.
This could have been worse than Ghost Rider.
Are you any good with a gun?
Wait.
Oh, my God. No, it would have been better. The more I imagine it, the better it gets.
Wait.
All the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons. Yeah.
No, I'm seeing it. I think
it would have become a good bad movie instead of just a bad movie.
Oh, my God.
You're being too hard on it. I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's fun. Lily Collins played Lucy. She went on to play Snow White and Mirror Mirror the year after this. Yeah. And she was Clary in City of Bones, Mortal Instruments City of Bones, which was another attempt to bring a popular young adult post-apocalyptic series to life on the big screen that flopped utterly after the first movie. Went to a TV series that I remember saw a few episodes of that I never got back to, but one of these days it's on my list. I don't know how long it went. Might still be going on. I have no idea. And that's the main cast. I enjoyed.
Oh, you're not going to say Wormtongue was the snake oil salesman?
Oh, I was going to leave him for that. That one of those people we bring up in passing.
Wait, that was Wormtongue?
That was his role in this. Was totally to was passing. Brad Dourif was a salesman.
That explains a few things.
But he was perfect in that role. I mean, it was like really so was. Well cast.
One of my favorite characters in the movie.
Beautiful.
All 30 seconds.
Yeah. He had more.
Twice.
You know,
I was adding them together.
He had less screen time than anybody else with as many words, but did more with it.
So, yeah, I actually remember his part.
And Alan Dale was well cast, I thought, for his role. He was the Monsignor Chamberlain, who's kind of...
The other Monsignor.
The guy he kind of trusted.
But almost good Monsignor.
I always find him interesting because he plays very... He's kind of... He plays roles that you like and don't like. He rotates between them pretty easily. He's one of those kinds of guys. He's got that kind of stoicism to him that can be kind, but it can also be cruel, you know? He was in Lost.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
He was quite the character in Lost. He was an NPC, but there you go.
Did you know
that was him?
No, I'm not going to say it.
That was him.
He was the head of the corporation, whatever his name was in Lost. I can't remember now.
Uh-huh.
Charles. Yeah. Okay. Something. Yeah. What's her name's dad?
Yeah.
Started the W.
It's been too long. I don't need the name. It's fine.
Can't remember. No, this is not the
people. No, we're, no. Thing.
Different vampire movie. Better vampire movie.
Well, are there?
Yeah.
Are there actually any worse?
Is Buffy on our list? Vanessa, would you check?
I believe
on that?
So.
It
Buffy
is.
The Vampire Slayer should definitely be on our list.
It is.
It is. See, it's not streaming anywhere, but it is on the list.
We don't have time to watch 1,200 hours of television for this show.
A movie. There's a movie.
I know. It's the movie was my least show. Favorite episode of Buffy.
There's only the one show. Episode of Buffy.
Budget of $60 million estimated, grossed in the, $14.9 million is opening weekend, grossed in the U.S. at $29 million. Cumulative worldwide gross was $78. So it did pass a $60 million budget threshold, but not by a total.
Not by much,
lot.
Yeah.
So, that's everything I've got on it right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, Priest, thank you for coming to the show. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
I have three notes. This twice since... I had watched it a whole week ago, and I was like, I'm not sure I remember it. So I watched it again.
Which says a lot.
Yeah, really. That's pretty much the answer.
But I did catch a lot of stuff that I missed the first time, which not only did that have effect on
me. Were you asleep?
That's what I was afraid of, catching something.
Vanessa's going to be the happy person this time.
I'm the happy person most of the time. There's only been like two or three that...
To be fair, she likes dark movies. I personally did not realize there were this many colors of blue in the rainbow.
Oh my God.
Lots of blue and a lot of black.
Wait, where was the rainbow? I did not see a rainbow anywhere in that.
No, place. It was just this blue. We were just focused tightly on blue.
There was. It's just that there weren't enough colors in the palette of the movie to demonstrate it was there, so it was completely invisible.
It was washed out, yeah.
That explains a few things.
They're right there. That's one thing. And I get it. The whole barren landscape, post-apocalyptic world that's gone to waste. You know, it's a classic trope at this point. It's the Judge Dredd thing, right? We got Mega City 1, and then the rest of the world is barren landscape and crap that's run by bandits, outlaws, and mutants or whatever.
Vampires. Yep.
Until you get and to vampires. Mega City 2 and 3 and so on.
Right, right.
There's at least 9 of them.
Total Recall did it. I mean, there's a lot of great science fiction that kind of plays on that concept. I don't know. I don't have a problem with the way they made it look. I thought it was convincing. I did like some of the details they added in that were kind of cool, like when they were riding the motorcycles into town and they had the breathing gear. You know, that was kind of neat. You know,
well, I mean, if they're going that fast on a motorcycle, they would need some sort of a breathing apparatus to make it believable, because they would have died. Because
it was a freaking desert. It was a dust bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and they were going 260 miles an hour.
When you go that speed, you can't breathe.
They also needed helmets, though, and I didn't see any helmets.
Right. Well, their heads were impervious to anything.
Well, what about the sheriff, though? He wasn't a priest.
No, that's true. That's true. He must have been riding behind somebody else.
Wait, was protected by his faith. Up?
He didn't have a rocket bike.
I don't think it's important.
Huh.
They all had rocket bikes.
They all had rocket bikes.
His faith guided him. It's okay. Let it go.
It was obviously an act of God.
I liked that shot, too, because it's that kind of almost Western kind of motif. Where you got the people riding across the desert landscape on the horses till they get to the one horse town, you know? They do a lot of...
That's why I didn't like this movie.
Because you don't like Westerns?
No, I know.
I don't like Westerns.
They do that a lot in Mandalorian, which has a Western kind of vibe under.
Which I like Mandalorian, though. That's weird.
The subtitles in this movie literally referred to the bad guy as Black Hat.
It did.
Yes. That's all we knew him as!
How does it get more Western than a bad guy named Black Hat?
Black Hat. Okay, my last tweet of the movie was also my favorite tweet of the movie. And it was after the credits had started to roll, because I was still kind of going, really? This is another one of those movies that just stops, by the way. And I was like, priest, Black Hat, priestess, brave priest, strong priest, bold priest, and the aptly named Flashback Priest.
Oh my god, I missed that. That's beautiful.
Credits. Those were the credits.
At least they knew what they were working with. No question.
They did have one person with a name, at least. We had Hicks as a main character.
And Lucy.
They had a name. Hicks and Lucy.
Yeah.
And there were the two Moan Seniors that each had a name, but we only called them Moan Seniors.
Who played, I didn't get it down, who played the Lucy's mom?
Shannon?
Shannon, yes.
I can't pronounce her name, or I would totally tell you. Madchen Amick.
So nobody that we really know from anywhere. She looks so familiar to me for some reason. Every time I saw her, I thought, and maybe it's because she's got that kind of Olivia Wilde kind of look to her. She
does.
There's just something about her that just kept beating me in the head, you know.
She was in Twin Peaks.
I've Riverdale. Never actually watched Twin Peaks. I have watched the hell out of Riverdale. Who did she play in Riverdale?
Alice Cooper.
Oh my god, she was Alice. Oh, that is freaky. Okay.
Wait a minute. Alice Cooper is a rock star.
Oh, she's different been in Alice a bunch Cooper. Of things.
Oh, okay.
That's a Riverdale thing right there. Which, to be fair, I don't know. Alice Cooper may have been a character in the comics that Alice Cooper got the name from. You never know.
Longmire.
I watched Longmire. That was a pretty good show. You wouldn't like it. It's a Western.
She was Dina.
It's not actually a Western. It takes place in Wyoming. Same thing.
Hey, now. I took place in Wyoming.
Yes, you did. You're my favorite Western kid.
Aw, thanks.
This was actually a...
Shucks, pard.
Aw, thanks. This is Paul Bettany's fourth time playing a religious character. He played the first place I remember seeing him was in Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. And he did so good in that role.
Oh, he was so intense.
Oh, gosh.
The self-flagellating monk.
That's right. He was the albino.
He was
Did
in
he even
Legion.
Have any speaking role?
You guys are totally
him?
Spoiling that movie for me, by the way. I haven't.
The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Da Vinci Code?
How
Come on,
have
man.
You
I've
not.
Seen Da Vinci Code.
It's even Vanessa has seen Da Vinci Code. It's 14 years old. Go watch it.
Are we doing it for the show?
Da Vinci Code?
I mean, we could.
We could.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie.
It's on the outer realms of splendiferous glory.
Unlike Priest.
It is on the list, and it is on Prime. Just saying. Okay.
All right. Well, then.
Well, we always have to have movies to fill in the gaps.
You could take that Nick Cage movie and pretty much amp it up so it's a little more exciting, and that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, Da Vinci Code is
Which Nick
the
Cage movie?
The one we did.
National Treasure.
That's the word.
I blank out.
Da Vinci Code is the National Treasure with Tom Hanks and the Mona Lisa.
And actually interesting puzzles.
In Europe. Yeah. It's
really?
Lots of Europe.
So it's Da Vinci Code is National Treasure without Nick Cage?
Right. And with better logic.
His estimation?
Or as I probably should say, with logic.
I may have to check that out.
I like Tom Hanks. The first sequel is pretty good. I tried to watch the third one, and it actually kind of lost me. I can't even remember the
which
name
one?
Right now. The Da Vinci Code.
And that closes off this review within a review.
You couldn't get through a movie. I didn't realize it was that bad. I didn't even try to watch it.
I don't know. Yeah, that might be.
I didn't know there was a third one. I knew there was a second one.
There's a third one.
There's another book.
Angels and Demons.
Angels and Demons was the second one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. What was the third one?
Something with fire in the title, I think. Archangel what Michael and Legion. What are you doing? You talking to Siri? Don't do that on the show. She might respond. And then he was a priest in The Reckoning, I guess. But I don't know what that is. That's back in 02.
Ooh, The Reckoning. Yes, I remember that.
I want to say I've heard of that one, but I don't think I've seen it.
Weirdness.
Yeah.
Wait, but he was the priest?
Obviously, he does a priest. He does there's a certain style to him that I guess that people find appealing for these kinds of roles.
It fits really well for him.
He's got a lot of character. I mean, I've seen him do other stuff. Wimbledon was a cute kind of romantic comedy that he was in with Reese Witherspoon, I think. And, you know, it just was like so not like anything else he was doing at the time. So I remember watching it and going, this is fun. Okay. I don't know anything about tennis. I watched the movie and knew less about tennis. The animated opening was a compromise, apparently.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, the studio, which we you know, when we were talking about Tank Girl, which we haven't released yet. since that's coming out this, when we record this, it's coming out in a couple of days. Anyway, the studios had no interest.
We will have talked about Tank Girl.
Yeah, so forget I just said that. So we talked about that a little bit in Tank Girl. Since the studio, in this case, the studios had no interest in going over budget for a live action version of the centuries long battle of humans against vampires. So they did it by animation, which was cheaper at that time. So
makes sense.
I think
considering the quality of that animation, I'd say it was much cheaper.
That was my note. It's a strong open followed by narrator exposition. It's the clearest way to bring people into the world, but less explory fun.
Less explory fun.
Legit.
Good words. I don't know. I felt like the story itself was, I mean, it was simple, but it was easy to follow. It had some really great kind of, you know, contextual background. I don't feel like there was really, I mean, there's not much to criticize about what that was of a story. It was pretty straightforward. Most of the movie was just action sequences. So
it wasn't a complicated story, but I still thought it was an engaging story for what it was.
And the sequences that when they did launch into action sequences, I always felt they were well executed because they kept me in tune. And some of the stuff they did, I thought was pretty original. I loved the whole thing with the train when it came into town. I mean, they forecast it pretty good. We knew what was happening when the NPCs in the town didn't. I'm still calling them NPCs. When the extras, I don't know. And that made it a
some
little more fun.
Some people refer to them as citizens.
We're not gamers at all.
I try never to do that. When the train came in and then they had the scene that followed and the way it was filmed, it was done
so well.
And then Black Hat's confrontation with the other priests when they showed up too.
If you care to call it that.
Yeah.
I like the train. The whole train idea, that plot point, that is the thing I really liked from this.
Damn it, you just stole that half was clever. Of my thumbs up for this movie.
I enjoyed the train. I enjoyed the town sequence where it almost looked like Black Hat was like conducting, going through the town.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. With the record playing in that one guy's home.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I loved that so much.
I meant to look up what the music was on that.
You've got that and Death of a Salesman. You've got the parts of the movie I remember.
That scene actually ended with my favorite line in the movie, as cliched as it may have been. When he looks at the two surviving priests and he's like, you have a choice. You can follow in my footsteps or you can follow in his. I just loved that. For some reason, his delivery of it was so, there was some fission there.
He's Carl Urban. And he was miles above this movie.
I was distracted looking at his chin.
In this movie, that's a lot of what you can see too. You notice the hat. It's just like, Just the gin.
Oh, I wanted to ask, actually, real quick, before we move on. Did anyone else catch? I couldn't tell, and I've watched it twice. The part of the tattoo that should have been on the bridge of his nose was missing, but since his hat was pulled down, I could never verify. Was his tattoo turned into an upside-down cross? Did anyone see?
Oh, good question.
Because I was specifically looking for that the last half of the movie, the second time I watched it, and I never... actually caught a good...
He didn't lose the hat very much.
No, not just really. A couple of times. The big reveal when he took off his hat for Lucy, but I missed it in that scene. So I was just wondering if any of the rest of you might have caught.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
What Jason just said about Carl, too, I mean, that's, I think, kind of the damning point here. I mean, he was so far above this material. And I think part of that is that I'm guessing they filmed this a couple, 3 years before it actually came out. Because his career was really just taking off in a couple years prior to this release. Star Trek was probably the first role in which he made any serious money. He'd been around since, I mean, we'd been seeing him for years at that point in geek movies. I mean, in Lord of the Rings and in the Chronicles of Riddick. I mean, he was doing really, really great things as far as, you know, being noticed and recognized, I think, by fans. By the time this movie came out, I imagine people wanted to see it because he was in it. And what you got wasn't really Carl Urban. I mean, it was...
Black Hat.
Yeah, it was occasional Carl Urban. I mean, sometimes he got to say or do something that you could feel the weight of him. The rest of it, I mean, since it was all just a visual character stunt for the most part, I don't know.
That describes most of the movie.
It is not.
Oh, good point. Did you find a picture?
It stops here... And it stops here. It could have gone a little bit longer, but for whatever reason, this part didn't get done. So it's more like a plus. It is equidistant from top to bottom, cut straight in the middle.
Interesting.
I'm not going to lie. It was kind of different depending on which scene you were in for any of them that had it.
Oh, the tattoos.
Really? Was there inconsistencies in this movie?
Yeah, a little bit. I saw it mostly in the cross because it was in different spots on Paul Bettany's nose, depending on when you saw it.
Okay, now we were talking about the story before we started talking about Carl Urban.
Sorry.
Wow, we're still on that.
The only problem I had with the story as far as accepting the world, and I actually didn't tweet about it, but they had the same Bible and the same prayers. And assumably the same stories based on the names of the cities and such that they took from Bible stories and whatnot. But in the opening, it was very clear that there have always been men and there have always been vampires. And there were constant battles and wars and struggles. And there were no vampires in the battle in the Bible. So there's no way that the same line of events happened to get us to where we have a Catholic church of vampire hunters with Jericho and Hail Marys and Our Fathers. How do you get to that world
anachronisms
with vampires?
Apologist rebuttal. I would imagine that the narrative we were given, starting with there have always been man, there have always been vampires, is from the perspective of this world that doesn't remember a world from before there were vampires.
It doesn't remember a world from before when,
you know, any of civilization became what it was then. I mean, obviously their city and their realm bore no resemblance to the modern world.
You remember there's that one point where the sheriff's saying, they're saying, I like to come out here and look at things and try to imagine what they used to be. But it just makes my head hurt.
That is as far as I can go on that, though, because I don't really disagree with you. I just think that there's a very strong sort of case for the idea that the narrative is short-sighted.
So recorded history only goes back to the apocalypse.
My brain was making this, and on all the things I'd read about it, said that it was an alternate Earth, not an alternate future. Therefore, I wasn't putting this in our future. I was putting this in there was a world that there were always man and there was always vampires.
And in that sense, like, I'd have to agree with you. I mean,
like a multiverse thing.
Yeah,
this was a different Earth. Yeah. In which case, I'm going, what? How do you get, if there were always vampires, how do you get to this point? But if it's in our distant future, and as far as they're concerned, there have always been vampires.
Yeah, that's how I interpreted the movie.
That could make that make
because
sense.
Of that post-apocalyptic feel, you know, which always feels like it's a distant future thing.
Say, just with that line on, I come here to imagine how it used to be. That's what put it like completely honed in on super future.
I just figured that had to do something with the way the wars fought and then the way the church ultimately took over and condensed everybody into walls.
Yeah, because you would imagine whatever the world was, that it was different than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in an alternate Earth, too, you'd imagine the whole idea comes from a world that was very different than it is now. So, but
yeah,
no, that's a really good point. I had never even considered the possibility that we were talking about a world that somebody just developed differently to a modern-ish or postmodern.
And that makes it make more sense. And so I get why you had less problem with the story, because your head didn't go to the weird place mine did.
That's okay. I like being an apologist. I'm not necessarily dedicated to the answer, but I can usually see another perspective.
All right. Continuing.
Anything else? Anybody got anything else? So we can move to clips if you guys want to.
No, I'm good with moving to clips. Yeah,
clips is good.
Moving right along.
All right.
We found a life on the highway.
The stakes?
Who are you? Name's Hicks. I'm the sheriff from Augustine.
What do you want?
There was a vamp attack. They took Lucy. Your brother, he's hurt bad. He told me where to find you.
And Shannon?
I don't really necessarily know. I don't know why I let that clip run as long as I did.
Me neither.
I don't necessarily know why they decided to do the reveal the way they did, but I have to admit that in the second viewing of this, because I had seen it once, like when it came out-ish, not like right when it came out, like after it came to, you know, on demand or something. But I'd forgotten completely that Lucy was supposed to be his daughter. I forgot about that connection. And clearly when Hicks came to the city to find him to try to enlist his help, he didn't know either, right?
Correct. The movie treats it like a really big reveal, but it's kind of projected like a lot.
If you're a movie person and you look for things like that, there was this little piece here. And then there was this little piece here, and then there was this little piece here, and by the time it was done, it was like, oh.
By the time we got to he's had to sacrifice more than most, I was just like, oh, that's what's happening.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
And that was one of the little pieces.
Yeah.
That was the one that gave it away for me, too.
I have to admit, though, that that was part of what actually gave the story a little bit of breadth. You know,
true.
I mean, his relationship to him was, it really mattered to them.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
to her, but to the family. Like
I started noticing it before dude even died, and he's just like, "I'm glad you were there to take care of her." And he's like, "I was really hoping she'd forget about you or something."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh, okay."
I realized that was part of the relationship, but I didn't realize the kid was his until later.
Right, because
a feeling.
What it clarifies about that is the whole thing with Shannon too.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just the kid that's part of that equation. She's just the only one left that matters at that point. I kept expecting
Shannon
them to,
was dead.
I kept expecting them to trot her out as somebody important, too.
Yeah.
Remember your vow.
If you take any action to leave the cities, it will be seen as an act of aggression against the church. You will be stripped from the order and excommunicated immediately. Do I make myself clear?
I said, do I make myself clear? Father.
Yes, Monsignor.
Try to remember your vow. To go against the church is to go against God.
Damn it.
Christopher Plummer was so good, though.
If you had cut that clip a little bit sooner, I wouldn't have lost that bet.
Oh, my God. They really hammered this plot point in.
Yes, which is why I made the bet.
It comes up so much. And it made sense when you realize, again, the reveal later. Oh, you know, there's a lot more going on here. Couldn't leave well enough alone. Well, you know, it would have been a disappointing story if he could have, obviously. Well, you know, that's not my life anymore.
I kind of wish he'd let the train hit the city.
See, you and I, sometimes, same page.
Which would have been hilarious and terrible.
And it pisses me off. Okay, pisses me off. Because Black Hat would have won. If he just hadn't let this little personal vendetta thing happen, because he would have showed up with the train and the vampires. No one sees it coming. By that point, the five priests who are there, really.
He had to abduct the daughter.
Yes, and he blew it all. He blew it all just for that.
That's what he wanted, though. You know,
I think he was trying to get
the queen
more,
wanted.
Yeah, he was trying to bring more people into the human vampire thing also. And the only way to get them to that would have been to get them out of the city so they would listen to him.
He didn't try that hard, though. He really didn't.
Isn't that kind of movie, dude.
I had the impression that this only works on priests, that other humans just die. That's how come you've never seen one until they catch this priest and turn him.
That's
an interesting concept. Yeah.
See, I took it more as it had to be the queen vampire that to do the conversion, and all the other vampires can't.
I took it as both those things. It has to be the queen, and it has to be a priest.
Well, and see, I don't think it necessarily has to be a priest, or else there wouldn't be familiars, because they did talk about wanting to be turned. They want to be turned.
But Black Hat specifically says that she made him into something that has never existed before, a human vampire.
Wow, that's right.
True.
And that's what he was. And he okay. His jive on that was, and you should join us.
If we're going to talk about things that would have made the movie much shorter and different endings.
Oh, yes, we definitely should.
Why did they have reservations in the first place? If they thought, if the church truly felt that the vampires were bugs that needed to be exterminated, why not just do it? Why make them reservations on bridges, on canyons?
You're asking the wrong questions here, because the whys don't really matter. I mean, because again, from the apologist's perspective, it's easy to come up with. Because the church wasn't necessarily in charge at the time. Or at least they weren't in charge of that.
I can actually
they
make a case for a better story
charge.
If they were.
They had the priests. They were ordained. They put the people behind the walls. They were as in charge as they were going to get. And the only reason they stayed in charge was because people felt like they were safe from the vampires.
And that is exactly why the reservations. Because the church knew that if they ever started to lose their hold over the people, they needed to be able to trot the vampires back out.
Yes.
Yep.
That is exactly the argument.
Monsignor was waiting for the train.
Well, not necessarily that particular reprisal from the vampires, but I do agree with Kid. I think the story here is that and probably the graphic novel actually goes into that, I'd imagine.
The sequel might too.
I heard the graphic novel had nothing to do with the movie except for the title.
Oh, that figures. Oh, never mind then. Screw those guys.
Wait, what?
I haven't actually, I didn't actually read it, but it was on a, and sometimes they're horrible, but it was on a BuzzFeed list of movies that had nothing to do with the source material.
Ah, it had to have something else or they wouldn't even bother giving it credit.
I mean, like, are there vampires? But, I'm going to have to check that out. I'll have to
see
if it's
on
my list. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. How it would have gone differently, or how they would have won, obviously. I mean, there's definitely room in this story to go completely different directions.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt that this story is extremely contrived and laid out, you know, in a very, very linear fashion. No group of player characters would have this adventure. That's what I'm telling you.
Are you saying that the train tracks are a little too obvious?
I'm saying that they were definitely railroaded.
The railroading going on in this story was just kind of out there.
Let's see. The world we fought for.
If you go out there right now, you risk stirring things up again. You have to look at the bigger picture. It's for the greater good.
Is this the world I fought for?
No. But it's the only world we have left.
Again, Alan Dale was great.
Briefly.
Those were both of the great performances.
This movie. Now, see, I can't entirely agree. I feel like Black Hat had a few more good scenes in it.
Black Hat had a few moments, a few good moments in scenes that had nothing to do with him acting. He had a few great actory moments.
You know? I disagree. I loved almost every moment that Carl Urban was on screen. He was brilliant.
I do remember those scenes more than other stuff, yes.
Of the character roles, Black Hat did have... I was honestly more involved in his story than I was the priest's story.
Well, again, he was more engaging. No.
Yeah.
He was also the one character that wasn't like everyone else of the same cookie cutter.
That might have been it.
And he was fun.
Yeah.
And he encouraged fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had duck?
Got that clip.
Roast duck.
Some of it somewhere. Except I don't know where it is right now. Look at this here. I got this one, though. I got this one, though. The hard way.
Now we can do this the easy way.
God, I've always preferred the hard way. Tell me where they took the girl. Haven't you done enough already, priest?
Tell me!
Look around you.
Look what you've done to them. They once ruled this land. They were warriors. They were gods.
They were murderers.
They were what nature made them to be. Just like you.
Just like you.
Yeah, see, that, no, no.
That I captured that because it was where the director said, okay, everybody do your best Christian Bale.
I loved that scene.
But the whole point is that the priests were not what nature made them. The priests were what the church made them in its infinite wisdom.
Talking about the priests, though, I don't think. He was talking about humans.
Mm. I think he was talking about the priests.
You think so?
The murderers. Because the priests were above humans. The priests were mutants.
Smells like dinner.
You told me to come. I had any information. But before I tell you, and I hate to bring this up, but there is this small little matter of compensation. Now, you've been really good for business, so I am more than willing to cut you a deal.
I can smell the blood running through your veins. Smells like dinner.
I love it. So good. I like Brad Dourif, though. He is so good at that grimy, sort of sleazy character.
Yeah, and I actually had to pause the movie the first time I watched that to look him up because I was just like, he looks familiar. He doesn't sound right, but he looks familiar. And I saw that he was Wormtongue. I'm like, oh,
different.
That one's going to follow him the rest of his career. And he had a career before Wormtongue. You know, I'm telling you.
Typecast,
I get that,
anyone?
But that's what I recognized him from. Yeah.
His career led him to Wormtongue, and Wormtongue has led him through other things.
Fair enough. Came here to warn you.
Does the lawman know what you'll do if she's infected?
He knows.
He'll try to stop you.
He won't be able to.
It's been hard all these years. Not seeing the others. Not talking. Sector 7 was the only place I could find work. Waste management. No one would hire me. No applicable skills.
I heard that too.
I didn't come here to bring you back. I came here to warn you.
Let's talk about the romantic subplot, shall we?
Do we have to?
Do we have to?
Because it the did. Romantic subplot that's kind of there and not really.
It didn't matter at all.
It's like a ghost.
Not even a little bit.
I will say, I did not expect her to survive the movie as a consequence. I really didn't. I thought she was going to die in the final.
She was pretty badass, though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the motorcycle fight.
With the motorcycle
she
fight.
Needs
yeah.
to survive to remain unrequited.
Oh, well, yeah. Otherwise, just like, you know, a lost opportunity that never really existed. So I guess I can see that.
She needs to keep fighting for his love.
Well, to be fair, at that point, I wasn't sure Priest was going to survive the movie either, because I could see him totally going out in a martyr-like blaze of glory, fitting this movie's general feel as well. So
I could have seen both of them dying in the big explosions at the end, and that would have just been the end of the Priests.
The original plan was for 3 movies.
Oh my God.
Why do they keep doing this to themselves? I don't understand it.
This was a setup.
Origin story,
this
yeah.
This was a setup yeah, this was the origin for story. The origin story. For the cross-country vampire sweep that he and the sheriff were going to take as soon as they blew up the train and the Monsignor said, they're not here. They go on about their business, and the next couple movies was them getting to wherever the queen was, because the queen wasn't on the train.
Right. Actually,
there was Black Hat.
That is a point. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to start it now.
Okay.
But that is a point.
Let's see. Are we having fun?
No. Oh, wait.
seriously.
What do you want?
I want the same things that you want. I want to be free from a life of suffering and sacrifice. To no longer be told that your every desire is a sin. After all, if you're not committing sin, you're not having fun.
I feel like that one sentence explains so much about the human condition.
I did like the delivery there, because it was a really great example of how a good actor, a quality actor, can understate something that somebody else would have taken and tried to push, you know, so much more into.
It was so Carl Urban-y.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's kind of what I was getting.
But you look at some of his earlier work, and he still wasn't that relaxed in the roles. You look at him as like a Lord Vaco in Chronicles of Riddick. And I mean, he had some kind of laid back moments, but sometimes when he was delivering lines, he would push, you know, and get that kind of intensity.
Some characters need more push. This is Black Hat.
I mean, he was half dead.
Wow.
I love Black Hat. Black Hat was the best part of this movie.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
And he was just so cool.
He was pretty chill, yeah.
He really did come off that way. It was great.
Windows to the Soul. Is this more Black Hat?
Yes, that's Black Hat.
Church teaches us that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And since vampire evolved without eyes, it is a soulless creature to be eradicated. But I have seen the soul of the vampire, and let me tell you, it is far more pure than that of any man. Now you ask me what I am. I am the bringer of the tide. I am the wave that will wash clean this unclean world. And you and your priest will help me do it.
This is another one of those movies where I really can't really find fault with the bad guy's argument. The humans have been shite to this moment.
Well,
and they're dark and they're controlling and they're contriving and they're lying and they're brutal and they're nasty. And the vampires were just doing their vampire-y thing, trying to be
vampire-y.
Thing. And they were better than the humans were giving them credit for, but they were savages.
But we saw the human population being turned into what they are by the people in charge. It was the priests that were the problem. It was the church that was the problem.
I was going to say, not the priests.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, the priests were the... I kind of skipped over that, too.
The priests were the military...
Yeah, they were the kind of... They were the misbegotten. They were like, oh, we can't afford to keep them around now because they could be dangerous, so let's make sure... disband them and turn them. It was from the Three Musketeers. We don't need you anymore. You know, we got our own.
Yeah, they were the hammer, and when the hammer wasn't necessary anymore, they kind of just put the hammer back on the shelf
and make sure that they feel like they're less than the normal populace, so that they don't ever have the strength to rise up and do exactly what's happening here and deal with justice on their own terms again. So yeah, if you're forging weapons and you don't expect them ever to be used against you, you're a little short sighted, obviously.
Yeah.
Unless you're Judge Dredd.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tell me you won't kill her.
Hicks, don't do this.
Tell me, or I will shoot you where you stand.
It will be easier to face your bullet here than to face what might lie ahead.
Why do you even care? She is nothing but a stranger to you.
She's his daughter.
She was just a baby when the clergy told me.
You're lying. I knew Owen.
The child needed a father. We all made sacrifices.
We all made sacrifices. That is a theme that pushed on this hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that the sacrifices were meaningless in the end because they took all the meaning away from it. They weren't at the time, but in the end, they took all it away from it. And there's a theme there that I feel is really kind of cool in the way it's explored in so many avenues of fiction, like the How the West Was Won kind of, or the... All's Quiet at the Western Front. That's what I was trying to get. The whole story that a soldier can't really go home because after you've seen and done the things you have to do to be that person, your world is never the same and you can't relate to the normal world anymore. You know, it's Katniss going into retreat at the end of the Hunger Games. She can't just go home and be part of the district now and just do her thing, even if she wouldn't have been arrested for it. But I mean, there's that sort of vibe of, you know, the priests were those people, right? It's like they're never going to be normal. There's no way.
There's that discussion in the hive when the priestess first runs into him and she's sitting there talking about her PTSD and he's sitting there like, yeah, me too.
And that's what he keeps saying. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I was going to capture some of that. I'm like, this is an engaging conversation.
I really felt like it was the most human that we ever saw from the priests in the entire movie was that short little discussion in the hive between the two of them.
Because it was barriers down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was being who we are because we're both in this together, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this was the first hint at the forced contrived romantic subplot. I have dreams of the horrors of the things that we did. And then there are other nights that I dream of other things.
the head,
good night.
The head turn that the listeners can't see right then. So good.
Love it. I apparently am romantically blind because I did not catch any of that. Gotcha.
She was like,
we know that about you.
Other nights I dream of other things, and she looks dead at him. It's like, those are the good nights. It was like, ew.
Maggie, put it back in your pants. I have one more clip. Lies.
Inside the burning train just beyond these city walls. You'll find hundreds more like it. And their queen was not among them.
Lies! This man is a charlatan. A risk to the security of the cities. There is no vampire menace. The war is over! Priest!
No. It's just beginning.
Most predictable.
If there's going to be a sequel.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably one of the best scenes in the movie. In terms of its dramatic qualities.
I might allow one of the best scenes in the movie that didn't contain Black Hat.
Yeah.
Of course, any scene that had that Monsignor was stolen by that Monsignor. Christopher Plummer is Black Hat.
That's true.
Carl Urban here above the rest of the movie. And then there's Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, when I saw him in the movie, I thought he was going to be a villain. I expected more, you know. I expected to be somehow behind the vampire threat. You know, I just, there was...
Makes me wonder how much of this movie was left on the cutting room floor.
It makes me want, when you started talking about, you know, the possibility of the church using the vampires from the reservations and whatnot, I think if there had been a sequel, he might have been.
When I very first saw this movie, which was a couple years ago, I was hoping that I would find that they had made a sequel because that's what I was expecting. I was expecting this tiny little seed of a story to unfold into this flower of a story that would show that all of this was actually having to be reviewed now from this greater perspective and everything wasn't what we thought it was. And I was looking forward to that. I thought that would be really cool. We didn't get that.
Yeah. Now, you say one of my other favorite scenes that actually didn't have Plummer or Urban in it was the one with the salesman being run out of town by the priests.
Yeah,
that was
for
good.
Snake oil selling.
That was good.
That was actually a decent scene. That was a cute. That was a good story. That was a better story than the actual movie.
And again, it was so much establishing stuff. It was so important. It was an important scene because it was establishing the townsfolk relationship with reality. You know. That his kind of character existed said a lot about the kind of world they lived in, you know, that he was up there selling his snake oil. And the fact that when the priests came into town, exactly how he handled or how the situation, you know, developed. And then when they cut to them in the house and he's like, because Hicks kind of almost entirely ignored the priest during that scene, you know, and then they cut into the house and his first comment is like, they're just not used to seeing someone like you around here or something like that. One of you.
Well, I mean, Hicks is supposed to be the sheriff. If he doesn't show himself as a man of authority that can handle shit on his own, the people aren't going to have any respect for
him.
Right.
Obviously, this is his town. This is his people.
Especially because he was a baby.
Yeah.
He was really young, yeah.
How did the baby become the sheriff of this old people town?
Yeah, and they didn't run
away. No one else wanted the job.
They didn't run away from that. He was courting Lucy. I mean, he was definitely playing a young character. It wasn't just the actor.
I'm betting that he became sheriff because he had the ability to knock bullets out of the air with knives.
There is that. He was
skilled.
He definitely had something going on.
If the church was still going, I bet he would have been a priest.
And that was, didn't they make a comment about that?
Yeah, the priest made a comment. He says he would have made a good priest.
You'd be a good priest.
You would have made a good priest.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that was...
Don't let it go to your head.
Just after that moment when they went in the house was another one of my favorite moments that are few. The priest is sitting there filing crosses into all the bullets.
Yes, yes.
Filing crosses into bullets. And he's just like, you can't possibly come with me. You will die. Blah, blah, whatever, forgettable words. And he flings the knife and does the cool trick. And then he goes, how are you with a gun? Better than I am with a knife. Okay, we leave at dawn. I thought you guys didn't use guns. We don't. Then what are the bullets for? They're for you.
Yeah.
He already had like 50 of them
the whole time. Yeah, it was great.
So the fact that, you know, he made this big deal about you're not coming with me.
He had to make sure the guy had the conviction
up
for
the sheriff.
Good stuff.
He knew.
That was a great scene. It really was.
Yeah, that one was good.
I do this other thing here. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Rich?
All right, thumbs down. The cookie cutter approach to character really gets me. I didn't like feeling that there were not any truly individual people. You could boil down tens of thousands of people into about five characters and then just stamp them out and know how they'll react to any situation.
I think there's software for that, isn't there?
Right. I like the train full of unexpected death. It's a little tropey, but as far as the gimmick goes, it's nice. When you make a society that follows leaders blindly because they were saved from fear itself in the past, and then that would never happen because someone wouldn't have thought of it, wouldn't be thought of. So essentially, complacency is met with surprise. In summing up, I felt it started on a foundation of sand and then ran from there. If you want to be wowed by monsters and superhumans, this'll do. There are some decent examples of how not to build a society, some interesting comeuppance, but if you're not interested in monsters or shallow builds, it would be a pass. I'm giving this 3.5 stars.
Still not bad. Still not bad at all. I think I get it. I think I get exactly what you're saying. I do have to say, in deference to your thumbs up, the train sequence would make a fantastic set piece in a D&D game.
Oh, yeah. I love the trope. Yeah. That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
What'd you call it? Something train of death? train of
I like unexpected the, death? The train full of unexpected death.
Unexpected death.
Yeah, I dig that a lot. I think that's exactly what it would be in my notes. That's perfect. It's beautiful. Vanessa?
Let's say I love this movie. I'm not even gonna try to tone that down. I thought the setting was neat. I thought the characters were neat. It could have used more depth, but I'll get to that. The way that everything interacted together, I thought, by a little predictable, it still ran really well, because if it weren't predictable, it wouldn't have had the same kind of feel to it. Thumbs down, it really could have used more color palette. It really could have used more than blues and blacks.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Wow, from the fan of Dark Vision.
and again, it could have used a little more complication to it, because it was a fairly straightforward movie. There wasn't a lot of looking left or right. You were looking straightforward, and you got exactly what you were looking at, in my opinion. I still gave it 5 stars because I've watched this movie twice in the last 2 weeks, and I might watch it again before I'm out of quarantine. Who knows?
Subverting expectations every day. I love it. Jason's gonna you're gonna have to close your mouth a little bit if you're gonna recover enough to give your report.
I broke Jason.
I was prepared for you to say like 4, maybe even 4.5, but a perfect score to that piece of junk.
Oh. I like that style of movie a lot.
I know, and sure. You are entitled to that, and I love that you have the audacity to do that. It is beautiful. You are one of my favorite people, and that is part of why. But damn. Oh,
so I take it you have a slightly different perspective, sir.
I do. That was not a good movie. It wasn't even a good bad movie. I like me some good bad movies, but oh,
can you give some examples? We want to take some notes.
my favorite good bad movie of all time is Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, that's a good example.
Here's the problem.
That is
such a great bad movie. You just saw the reaction to that here from the cast. How likely is it that we'd have less than a perfect score on Big Trouble Little China?
I'm sure it could find some scruples with it, I'm not going to lie.
Because it's not a perfect movie. But it is a perfectly enjoyable movie.
it rates high, but I couldn't give it 5.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Okay. It would be high. I'd probably give it a 4, maybe even a 4.5, but it's broken. It's a broken film, and that's okay.
It's a good bad movie.
This was a very this was an unfortunately broken film. The main characters were not likable. They were not identifiable. They were not relatable. There was nothing ubble about anyone in this movie except for maybe Black Hat. They were also unubble.
Black Hat was my favorite character. I will give you that.
He was great. And any movie where I find myself hoping that the protagonists die isn't a perfect movie. I shouldn't want to hate the protagonists, but I do.
it's not necessarily a hate thing, even the way that you presented it for the protagonist, though. It would have been, like, biblical closure at that point.
I was rooting for the vampires.
Yeah, I don't like them. I don't like the world. I don't like the setting. On a side note, I'm going to disagree with part of your thumbs down and turn it into a thumbs up. The one thing I did like about the movie, I thought it was pretty. It was all green and blue and black, but it was effective at portraying that world, because that world was all blue and green and black. If they gave that dark, miserable, beaten down world a color palette, it would have felt wrong. The church had completely sucked all color out of everything, and it was appropriate. Also, the cinematographer really loved shadows, like camera shots behind somebody.
Yes.
And like, oh, look, this shadow has a hat.
Yes.
You know, oh, again, look, this again, shadow doesn't have a hat.
Again, kind of a Western motif, by the way. That is something
true.
That you see.
I kind of dug some of that. I liked the way this horrible movie was presented. I just didn't like what they were presenting. It gets 2 stars.
That's about what I was expecting from what you'd said. So works for me. Not to tangent too hard, but I did actually want to bring something up too. During the clips, the one clip that reminded me of it, when he talks about the windows to the soul, the vampires in the story. Mm-hmm. And we've made a couple of comments about it, but he referred how they evolved as an eyeless beast. Mm-hmm. When I was watching this movie, until he made it clear, or somebody made it clear, I think it was Black Hat, at the point in the movie that it came up, that he was a unique individual, I did not assume that the eyeless vampires we had seen were the total representation of their species. I thought they were maybe some lesser beast or creature that we were finding in the catacombs or something, you know, a monster, a vampire monster, but didn't really expect that there weren't actual vampires the way we usually think of them, like Black Hat basically was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That is an interesting choice.
I liked it.
And like I said earlier, I would rather deal with a world full of Twilight vampires than bugs.
Oh, these things were monstrous. They were bestial.
They were they were buggy, monstery, ew. And oh,
I liked the fight with the brood, whatever it was, brood.
Seriously,
Starship Troopers.
The fact that I just brought that up right before you get to your thumbs up, thumbs down. I just took the other half of his thumbs up, didn't I?
Yes.
Aww.
I'll let you Starship talk Troopers. About it, kid.
All right.
Oh, it's too late. I have nothing left. It's all gone now.
Oh, no.
Talk about it.
Nothing left but my thumbs down.
You are still obligated to discuss it, sir.
My thumbs up, because no one had mentioned it, was the fight with the Lair Guardian. Actually, the entire lair, really.
Was cool.
The Hive Guardian, yeah.
But because they're climbing up this mountain with skulls and bones, and it's obvious that this entire mountain is their construction, especially once you get inside and it's tunnels.
I guess so, huh?
So we're dealing with a species that has built, like termites, this nest, except it's a literal mountain.
Of dead people.
Yes. And there are bones sticking out of the walls once you get inside, everywhere. I mean, it really drives home the point of exactly how close the fight to survive for humans in this world has been when that's where the enemy lives. And that's just one hive.
I hadn't even really paid attention to that. I mean, I just thought of it as decor, kind of for the set piece. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And then it also gives us the first real hint at their numbers. Because when you get to that part in the center and he looks down and you can't see the bottom and all those little holes all the way around. Mm-hmm. So how many hundreds of thousands of vampires did they have to kill to get to the point where they could drive them into these reservations anyways? I don't know. I really feel like it gives us our first true sense of the depth and scale and scope of this war and this world. And I liked that. But the fight with the Hive Guardian was extraordinary. It was possibly the best, if not best, then the second best fight in the entire movie, especially the way it ended. Okay, the priest and priestess have not seen each other in years. They haven't fought in years. For all we know, this is the first fight she's had since we didn't really see her engaging anyone.
Right.
It looks like she snuck into this place without any problems. And yet they are so perfectly in sync that when they break and the thing jumps and she throws the rocks and he jumps on them and kills the thing and it comes to a stop 2 inches from her feet. She Beautiful. Doesn't move to make that happen.
Beautiful.
it was a dance, a ballet of death and battle, and it was, oh yeah, that was one of the best things in the movie, and it stands as representative for my thumbs up. My thumbs down is actually represented by the train, because here's the thing.
That would be the train of unexpected death, right? I just want to make sure I got it in my notes.
That everybody else has been kind of...
I'm curious.
We have been tricked, we have been hoodwinked, and we have quite possibly been bamboozled. That train was not what they told us it was, and here's my evidence. If you look at the establishing shot, that train is somewhere between 10 and 14 cars long. We see the inside of 9 of those cars. 2 of them have eggs in them. None of them have an army of vampires. There was no army of vampires on that train.
Hmm.
The vampires that destroyed Jericho would not have fit in the 3 to 4 cars at most that were left that we didn't see the inside of.
The last car is a TARDIS.
No. I think it was a fake. And I think that if we had gotten another movie, it would have been awesome to find out what was really going on with that. Either that, or the producers fucked up and gave us a train that couldn't have possibly held the army of vampires.
Ding, ding, ding,
and
ding,
didn't
ding.
Realize, and I, didn't realize that they screwed the pooch.
I don't even have a way to get a time code on that because of the technical problems. I'll just catch it.
Sorry. You're this fine. Is R-rated.
No, this is PG-13.
No, I just upgraded art.
There went our PG-13 rate. That's what you're telling
that's
me?
That's not how that works. Yes.
So
I don't think you're the one that makes those decisions, Jason.
It was either I'll let Jason chime in here.
Okay, oh, you're good.
Okay, thank you. It was either a colossal blunder on their part, in which case that justifies it being my thumbs down, or it was a brilliantly subversive trick that never paid off, which in that case, that's why it gets my thumbs down.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really given much thought to the fact that they were supposed to be carting like you said, like an army of the undead, because that's what they were. This is good. This will be one of the clips I didn't play. This is going to be a war, you know. There's definitely a feel that the impression we were given was it's supposed to be carting all of the vampire kin right to the city, where there's no sun because of pollution, right? Did they make a point of that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did do a cool thing where when you're far back on the train, you saw the city in the distance, and it had like this anti-halo of clouds and darkness and thunder.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Those are good points. I like that. What's your rating? What
do you got? I give it 3 stars.
3 stars. Okay. I'm going to give it 3.5, Rich. Stick that in your calculator and smoke it. I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun with it. Obviously not as much fun as Vanessa, because there were points at which I was having a hard time staying awake. But I definitely enjoyed the action sequences, and the look and feel of the movie worked for me really well. And the story was what it was.
I got to be Eric.
A little bit, yeah.
Somebody has to.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, it would have been a little anticlimactic for me now to give it 5 stars, wouldn't it? That would have just been silly. So, you had a chance to pull up the number?
Yeah, that actually gives us a 3.5. So basically, what we're saying is, if this is the style of movie, and these are the types of things you want to watch, you should watch it. It's an okay movie.
It's not bad. It's an enjoyable spend of a couple of hours, unless you're one of those people who fits into Vanessa's headspace, in which case it is a perfect movie and you will walk away loving it.
If you want character development.
Or you're one of those people that spins in my headspace and you're going, why? I did enjoy the action-y bits. They were good in action-y bits.
There are some great popcorn movie moments in this. The problem was that the whole movie wasn't a popcorn movie to me. The problem was that I would have got lost interest in my popcorn.
I'm totally there.
Yeah. So yeah, but I thought that's a good run. I thought we gave it a good read overall. So
oh, yeah,
nice job, guys. Well done. Give yourselves a pat.
Yay!
Way to fake us all out with the train, assholes.
All right. So make sure you tune in next week for our Thanksgiving episode. Join us live at 2:00 on Saturday afternoon. I hope that works out. Right here on Twitch TV, and that's going to be Red. Retired, extremely dangerous.
Oh, are we finally doing Red?
Let's do Red.
Yeah. Helen Mirren.
I've watched
Hello.
It 3 times just for this.
Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, I'm in.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of here for today. Thanks so much for joining us. For Rich, for Jason, Vanessa, the kid. Hoo-ah! Later.